And we welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're now going to turn our attention to education in Tuolumne County, and we're pleased to be joined on the telephone by Kathy Parker, Tuolumne County Superintendent of Schools. Superintendent Parker, thank you so much for coming back on.
Thank you, BJ, for having me.
Well, the first thing I want to ask you about was kind of a big announcement or comment that Governor Gavin Newsom made earlier this week about the potential for the school year, next school year, to start as early as late July. And I know you've been looking into this issue. Can you kind of share your reaction and what you've learned in regards to this?
Yes, as soon as the governor made his comments, there were multiple agencies that released a clarification on his statements, including the State Superintendent of Public Instruction. And in addition, we reached out to the governor's office and talked to his staff and wanted to clarify that his comments about July did not mean for everyone. What those comments were in regards to is we do have some districts that are our local, Calaveras Unified being one of them, and many districts down in the Valley area and in the Bay Area follow what we call a modified traditional schedule. And they actually start their new school year in July. So his comments about starting in July was not meant to be inclusive, and that it was not meant as a mandate. It was actually an idea that he was having that if we had the funding and the capability of starting summer school options in July, that might be on the table. But also for those schools that actually start in July, they may actually be able to start in July. And that's a positive note, because a few weeks ago, we wouldn't be able to have those conversations. Because the situation is improving in California, in the regards to access to testing, the number of cases hopefully starting to stabilize at some point, we're able to now turn our attention to when and how we can reopen. Again, the clarification from the governor's office was quite clear. If there are schools that are ready to open, it looks like the opening in July or when they need to open will be on target. And most of our schools, all of our schools in Tuolumne County, reopen the school year about the third week of August, and that's going to be our working assumption for right now.
Yeah, I appreciate that clarification. I know a number of parents in the community hearing that were like, oh, are we going to be sending students back earlier? So that's good to hear how it all works.
You know, we know that this is tied to some of the work that we need to do to make up for the loss of learning. So again, we're looking at what does that look like in terms of providing summer school options, if possible, or even starting a couple weeks earlier in order to ramp up learning. All of these things are discussion items. Nothing's been decided. It's dependent upon two very important items. One is dependent upon state and federal executive orders. We cannot be more restrictive. We can be more restrictive. We can't be less restrictive of those executive orders. So again, we have to work with our local public health officers, and we are doing that to develop a plan for reopening. And the second piece that's tied to that is the ability to fund anything that we would do extra before the start of what we would consider here in Tuolumne County our traditional start of our school year in late August.
Do you know at this point in time how the school's going to look different, you know, this coming fall as it did previously?
Schools, that's part of our discussion that we're having right now. We have about a 20-page document that we have worked through that have on those 20 pages, it outlines what are our conditions now in our community in regards to widespread testing, stabilization of hospital and ICU trends, which luckily in Tuolumne County we haven't had that, as well as adequate PPE being available to school districts. That planning on how to reopen schools also includes what does it look like in terms of social distancing on a brick and mortar school site. And so as we start to work through those 20 pages of questions and scenarios, a plan will start to emerge that will make sure that when we do reopen school, we're doing it in a safe manner that protects our students, our staff, and our community members, while at the same time providing excellent educational opportunities for students. There's a lot of it coulds. It could look like a hybrid social distancing model where some learning takes place online, some takes place in the classroom. It could look some students come on some days. There's a lot of scenarios out there. Nobody has made a decision yet. Nobody has all the facts yet. And that's what part of this planning model is designed to do, is to lay out everything that we need and what can we do with the budget that we have. And again, keeping our students, staff, and community members safe as the first priority.
As you kind of alluded to as well, it seems like there would be a lot of challenges on the horizon just for locally and across the state of California for schools, and that the state of California has less revenue coming in right now and some tough budget challenges possibly on the horizon. And at the same time, school districts will have to implement these new things and look at ways to social distance.
Right. So at the same time that the governor was making his comments about the July reopening, a budget subcommittee was meeting and having a hearing regarding the education side of the budget, which, as we know in California, is a significant part of the state budget. Out of those conversations is the acknowledgement that it's very important to keep districts whole in regards to their funding. We were already underfunded. We had just received funding that was equitable to what was prior to the Great Recession, so we hadn't made gains from that time period, where we had finally been made whole up to that time period. But we know that there will be a significant impact to school funding. What our community needs to understand is that our districts have always tend to plan with fiscal prudence, but we need to understand that this particular scenario is unprecedented. We do continue to plan very prudently for the future in a fiscal manner, but we have to take into account multiple scenarios as well. Everything from a reduced COLA, which we've heard that we should plan for that, to deferrals, cash deferrals, which have happened in the past, and try to balance that also with trying to meet what's important in terms of accessing our school sites in terms of meeting public health officer guidelines, such as social distancing, which takes more classrooms, more staff, and more resources, which is money. So again, we're right at the beginnings of thinking of through these different scenarios and trying to work through all of those different types of questions that come with this type of situation.
For parents and students, you know, you hear a lot about the learning gap during this time. And for people who are concerned about the learning gap and not being physically in the classroom, what message would you have to those individuals?
So I've heard from several community members, and I know that there is a great concern about the number of students who are not accessing what is being made available to them, or they are trying to access it, but there are situations in the home environment that prevent them from actually successfully completing, for example, all the assignments. Many of our families have multiple children in the household, and so if they're all online, if they have online access, that becomes an issue, or if they have a limited number of devices. If mom and dad are having to work also from home, it really makes it difficult for them to also serve as teachers. And I want to remind everybody that many of our teachers are also teaching their own children and managing their households while still continuing to teach their classes remotely. So I want to assure the public that I can vouch for that the children and teens that are accessing their education provided in any manner, whether it's the paper and packet learning that's picked up every week, whether it's the online devices that have been checked out and the hotspots that have been checked out, whether it's accessing the extended learning opportunities website at our district office that many teachers are contributing to across the county. No matter what form of learning, if they're accessing their education, it's extremely valuable. And for many of our students, that connection with their teacher every week or multiple times a week, or an instructional assistant and a cafeteria worker handing out packets or food as they come for meal delivery, to the bus driver who drives along the bus route and hands off meals to households, to the administrators, like Chris Boyles at Sonora Elementary, who reads stories and posts them on YouTube. That connection is a highlight of their day. And in addition to access the mental health professionals provided through schools and the continuous reaching out to all students and their families by our educational staff, it's the bright spot to many people in this really kind of dreary, depressing time. And those relationships are so important that I know that they're so important. and they sometimes are the difference between a tragedy and hope. And we want to make sure that we continue on that. Are we meeting every kid's needs? I'm going to be the first to say, no, we're not. But are we trying and are we getting better? Yes, we're getting better every day. And the more we practice at this and the more we get better at this, the better we'll be in the future. So it's very important that we work together in this time, be very honest with ourselves, saying this is not what we expected education to look like, that that this is the situation we're in. So let's get better at what we're doing and not tear down the work that many of our teachers and educators across our county have been trying to perform over the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks or so.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Kathy Parker, Tuolumne County Superintendent of Schools, on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We have a few minutes left. We'll talk more with Superintendent Parker in just a minute.